We have been going over the Ocean View Baptist Church vision and core values, and we are in our second to last week on this. And so let me just kind of review with you. At one point in our church history, and this was many months ago, probably 6 months ago, we got a group of people together. And we were looking for a vision for a church and the core values, and the core values are the things that really are important to us. It's the stuff that that we are really going to focus on as a church. And to start off with, let me go over the vision statement for you. Ocean View Baptist Church is where God's love is proclaimed, experienced, and expressed. Ocean View Baptist Church is where God's love is proclaimed, experienced, and expressed. And we wanted to make sure that we had the experienced and the expressed in there, as well as the proclaimed, because it's not just a place. Ocean View Baptist Church isn't just a place where you come and hear God's love, but when you get involved, you get to experience it. And once God's love fills you up, it like overflows. And as it's overflowing, it's expressed in your life. And different people are going to express that love in different ways because God has built us differently. A hammer works different than a screwdriver does. And just like those are tools in my toolbox and I use them in different ways, God has tools in his toolbox. And you and I are designed in different ways and our love is expressed in different ways. Okay, we talked about the Bible and we talked about how the Bible is where we get everything from. The Bible is where we start as a ministry and as a church. We're going to get back to prayer. We skipped prayer because we had a week of prayer and then we went into this. And so we'll get back to that. Love is doing what is in the best interest of others to do. Sometimes love is saying yes and sometimes love is saying no. Sometimes love focuses on it. Focuses on the majors, the major issues, and it confronts on the majors, but on the minors, it accepts. Okay, we talked about that. Accountability, and we talked about living in a community that encourages people and helps them to grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And then last week, we talked about compassion, or I'm sorry, VBS was last week. The week before that, we talked about compassion. And it's when we see people in genuine need and we express an interest in them and we help them through those needs. So this week is missions. And in missions, Ocean View Baptist Church is committed to share the gospel with Ocean View, Kau, the Big Island, Hawaii, and around the world. That's what it means to be excited about missions and to be involved in missions. Let me tell you this little story about Hudson Taylor. In October 1857, Hudson Taylor began to minister in Ningpo, China. And by the way, Hudson Taylor was probably one of the first missionaries that went to China. If he wasn't one of the first missionaries, he was one of the first effective missionaries that went to China. He got ill at the end of his ministry, and at the end of his ministry, he started praying for God to use him to send other people. He was stuck in England, and he couldn't go anywhere. And while he was stuck in England, God used him to send over 1,100 missionaries to the country of China. Okay, and that was in a time when they didn't have jet planes and not even motorboats. They were sailing boats that sailed people from England all the way to China. So God used him in a powerful way. Hudson Taylor was ministering in Ningpo, China, and he led a Mr. Ni to Christ. The man was overjoyed and wanted to share his faith with others. "How long have you had the good tidings in England?" Mr. Ni asked Hudson Taylor one day. Taylor acknowledged that England had known the gospel for many centuries. And Mr. Ni said, "My father died seeking the truth. Why did you not come sooner?" And that's the heart of missions. The heart of missions is when we understand God's gospel. We understand that Jesus came to earth, that he lived a perfect life. He died upon a cross, not for any sin that he committed, but for the sin that you and I committed. And we share that good news with other people. And Hudson Taylor did that in the time that God wanted him. But that's a good question, isn't it? What are you doing with God's gospel? And we'll come back to that. Let me tell you probably the heart verse of missions. This verse is the key verse of the book of Acts. And if you know anything about the book of Acts, it is it's a historical account of the church. And it talks about the expansion of the church after Jesus went back to heaven. And so this verse kind of summarizes the whole book of Acts. And it says, and this is Jesus' last words in the book of Acts to his disciples. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power and tell people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And as we look at the book of Acts, what we see is this pattern that happens, that the gospel starts in Jerusalem. It moves out from Jerusalem into Judea, which is kind of like saying it started in Ocean View and then moved to Kau. It moved out to the country. This would be starting from the country, moving out to the rest of the county. Okay, and then Samaria was a foreign country. It was another country that was next to the nation of Judah. And so it went from their country to another country, and then from that country all over the known world. And what you see as you study the book of Acts is you see the progression of the gospel. You see it as Peter preaches in the temple, and he preaches the good news about Jesus Christ, and he talks about how we need to repent of our sins and to be saved. And then the next minister that we have in the Bible that comes up big is Philip. And Philip starts ministering to people outside of Jerusalem. And as the church is persecuted in Jerusalem, it spreads Christians out throughout the world. And people become missionaries, not necessarily on purpose, but because as they're going out into the world, they're taking the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Okay, and after Philip leaves the scene, we see another man by the name of Barnabas, and he has a partner, Paul. And those two begin actually taking the gospel and taking the gospel around the world. They're looking for places that they can go, that they can plant gospel seeds, and that gospel seeds can grow. Okay? And that's the idea of missions. And it's kind of like these ever-widening circles. Have you ever been on still water, maybe a pond or the ocean on a really calm day or something, and you just got flat water, and you throw a stone in, and when the stone lands in the water, it makes a ring, and that ring makes another ring, and that makes another ring. And what we have here is we have these ever-widening circles of the gospel, and it starts in a place and then moves out and continues to move onward. Now, you and I are beneficiaries of this, aren't we? Because where do we live? Do we live in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, or the rest of the world? We live in the rest of the world. And 2,000 years ago, this pattern was started, and you and I are here today because there were people that were faithful with the gospel. And it spread throughout the world. Okay? Now, Acts chapter 6, verse 7 says this: God's message was preached in ever-widening circles, and the number of disciples increased vastly in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. Again, there's this idea of ever-widening circles, that when the gospel was preached, it started in a place and it continued to move outward and move outward and move outward and to move outward. And so that is kind of the picture of missions, and it should be the picture of missions in the life of the church and in the life of our church. Now, what do I mean by that? In the life of the church, I don't know if you know this, but a church isn't a building. A church isn't a place that we gather. And we tend to call buildings where people worship together churches, but that's not what the church is. The church is the people that gather. And aren't we happy about that, since we don't have a building? And yet we're still having church today. We're still able to meet as a group of people to look into God's word and to respond to God's spirit. So let's look at the who, what, when, where, why, and how of missions. What is missions and how does it work? Again, the who, as a church, Our core values say that missions is important to us. And sharing the gospel and spreading the gospel in ever-widening circles is important to us. Now, what we mean by that is that it starts with an individual within our church, and that individual cares so much about that, and fortunately in our church, it's not one individual, it's a number of individuals, that we make it a priority. We say, hey, look, how can we do missions better together than we could do on an individual basis? Okay? So 50 of us can have more of an impact on missions than one of us. Does that make sense? And so mission starts right in your own heart. It starts right at the core of who you are. And when mission starts to be talked about, it gets infectious. And when it gets infectious, then more and more people participate in missions, okay? So the who is all of us. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, God has given you a job. And your job is to spread the gospel. And that's what a missionary is. A missionary can be someone who goes overseas to spread the gospel. A missionary can be someone who goes to a different state, or a different country, or a different county, or a different town to spread the gospel. But we all have the job of missions. If you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you've been appointed a missionary for Jesus Christ. And you've been appointed to share the good news of Jesus Christ wherever it may take you. Okay? The what? Now, I'm going to give you a couple examples of what we've done in the past as a church to be mission-minded and to participate in missions. And some of you were able to participate in these things with the church. Like a few weeks ago, our church joined with another mission group that had come from out of state, and we painted the outside of this building. I don't know if you've noticed it. I think it looks a little bit brighter and a little bit better. The paint isn't faded. It's not chalky anymore. You say, well, Pastor Tim, why would we spend the time and the money to paint a building that doesn't belong to us? Why would we do something like that? It's because we understand God's love, and we want to show God's love to other people. And one of the ways that we do that is by being practical about it. When people say, hey, why are you guys painting the church? My response is, or why did you do that? Because we want to show God's love in a practical way. And we understand that that was a need of this community. Okay? And so we can participate in missions by showing God's love in practical ways. Now, the Bible says, Jesus speaking, he says, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, in Jesus' name, it's as if you've done it to me. Okay? And so that's showing God's love in a practical way. Someone's thirsty and you give them a cup of water. Right? Now, that can be expanded upon in a lot of ways. It can be painting the church. There can be a number of things that you do as an individual, or we do as a church, to show God's love in a practical way. But that's one of the things that we do as a church to do that. Let me give you another example. Our VBS program, if you were here last week and you weren't unaware that we had done VBS, you saw something completely different than what you normally see out of our church. Normally, we do some music, and I get up and preach, and we have offering, we have all those things. And last week, the kids were able to lead the service. The kids were the ones who were sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ through their music. The reason that they were able to do that is because we had a number of people within our congregation that said, look, our job as believers is to share the gospel. And we had a VBS, and we shared the gospel with kids. And you'll be happy to know that we had kids that responded to that message. That there are kids that came to our VBS, that gave their life to Jesus Christ, that changed their destination from hell to heaven. Okay? Now, usually people say amen when I say something like that, but, you know, let's try again. There are kids that came to our VBS last week that changed their final destiny from hell to heaven.
Amen.
Okay? Now, that's an amazing thing, if you ask me. That's an amazing thing. And because people in this church cared about kids in our community, we did a Jerusalem-style mission. We shared the gospel with people in our culture and in our context. Okay? Well, what about the future? What types of things are we going to do in the future as far as missions are concerned? And all I can tell you is we'll probably continue to do some of the things that we've done in the past, and we'll probably add some things, and I don't know the answer to all that. Some of being involved in missions is waiting upon the Lord and waiting for Him to tell you what it is that He wants you to do. Okay? And so we will continue to pray about that and ask the Lord how He wants us to minister in our community and how that can widen in ever-widening circles and we can take the gospel across the world. Okay? Now I can tell you from my perspective, I love missions. Missions is one of the things that I'm very, very passionate about, not only in our community, but around the world. And my wife and I had the opportunity, we've been on several mission trips. One of them was to Africa, but I don't know if you know this, but my wife and I got married in December of 1997, and 6 months later, we were on the mission field. We were in the country of Panama. And our marriage was forged, or part of it, was forged on the mission field, telling kids and young people about Jesus Christ and sharing the gospel. We spent 2 months over there. I tell you what, every time I go on a mission trip, I find out something. I always go to change the world, and what I find out is that God changes me. That God changes me. He changes my perspective. He changes my heart. He changes who I am. Part of the reason that our family is in Hawaii is because of missions. We had the opportunity to do missions in Hawaii when we lived in Alaska. And we were going to come 1 year. And when we came, we decided that we brought 25 young people, 25 students, junior high and high school students. And we did what we did for VBS. We went to a church in Waianae over on Oahu, the Blue Church, or Waianae Baptist Church that's over there. And Brian Whittakine, I don't know if any of you know him, was gracious enough to host us. And we would go and we would run their VBS. And we were going to go for 1 year. And we had so much, it was so life-changing that we said, you know what, we're going to come every other year. And we got home, and about 3 months later, one of the leaders that had gone on the mission trips comes to me and says, I don't think we should wait every other year. And I said, you know, God's been telling me the same thing. And so for the next 7 years, every year we would spend time in Oahu, in Waianae. It's a place in Oahu that no one wants to go, Waianae is. You know that 90% of prisoners that are in the prison system on Oahu come from Waianae. And I was taking, you know, 12 through 18-year-old kids to the most dangerous place in Hawaii. And throughout that whole thing, it broke our hearts. You know, my wife and I fell in love with the people that live in Hawaii because of that mission trip, because that first mission trip kept us coming back more and more and more. And when we started looking for positions in as a head pastor in ministry, God said, your heart is either for Hawaii or for Alaska. You can't go back to the mainland. God wanted us to be either in Hawaii or Alaska. And He brought us here. And I can tell you that all that started with a mission trip. With us saying, look, how can we go and minister to people? And you know, if you were to look and talk to people, what you'd find out is that a lot of times God will do amazing things when we step out in faith. A small step of faith brings us to a place many years later that we had no idea we'd be at. And it was just one step of faith that God used. Okay? Now, that's the great thing about missions. That's the other thing when I found out for myself, but I also found out for students. Students said, yeah, we want to go to Hawaii and we want to share the gospel with kids and we want to change a life. Now, you know that only 5% of all Christians lead somebody else to the Lord throughout their lifetime. Now, some people are Christians for 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, and only 5% lead someone else to the Lord. Now, these kids would go and they would share the gospel with young people, and those young people would give their life to Jesus Christ. And it would change the life of that young person, but it would also change the life of our students. It put them in the top 5%. Now, I don't know how to judge Christians. I don't think that's the right thing to do. I'm not saying if you've never led someone to the Lord, you're not a good Christian. But what I'm saying is the gospel and the Bible points us to Jesus. The Bible points us to Jesus. It points us to his death, burial, and resurrection. And if we can't be about the gospel, what can we be about? A church without the gospel is no church at all. And we need to devote our lives to sharing the gospel with people who do not know it. Okay? When? Missions. You guys have done missions in the past before I was here. We're doing missions in the present, and we need to continue to do missions in the future. Where? I think that the Bible in Acts 1:8 and in this Acts 6:7, where it talks about ever-widening circles, that mission starts where you are and it works its way out. It starts where you are and it works its way out. You know, it starts with you as an individual and works its way out to your family. And it works its way out to your neighbors and the people you work with and the people that you see and the people you see at the grocery store and the people that you come across. But it starts right where you are. Okay? In the early church, it started in Jerusalem, the beginning of the church. And as the church spread, so did the gospel. Okay? Why? Why do we need to be on mission? Why do we need to be telling people about Jesus? And I think I've already talked about that, but I think it's obvious that a church without the gospel isn't a church. Yet the gospel is the most precious thing. It's the pearl of great price. Jesus tells that story about a man who finds a pearl. And it is so valuable and it is worth so much money. And it is so precious to that man that he goes home and he sells everything he has. Now, I don't know what all he had, but in our context, he sold his automobiles. He sold his house. He sold his treasures, he sold his spear gun, he sold his cooking pots, he sold everything. And when he had sold everything, except maybe the shirt on his back, he went and he bought that pearl. And the Bible says he bought it for the joy that it was. And that's what it means to be on mission. Being on missions means that there is a pearl, this gospel message, this story of Jesus and who he is so important to me that I will give up everything that I have and everything that I am to spread that gospel message, to tell other people about Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection. Okay, that's the idea of missions. That's the why. And if that isn't who we are at our core, and if that isn't us as a church, are we just a country club? Are we just a group of people that get together and sing together and have a pep talk and eat a meal together? I hope that's not us. And I don't think that's us. In fact, I know a number of people within this church body, in their own way, who love that pearl of great price, who love that gospel message, and who spread that gospel to people. Okay? Now, how? How are we going to do that? And again, I don't have all the answers here. You know, we gotta submit ourselves to God's leading and allow God to do what He wants to do in our lives and in our hearts. And we can't just like come up with an idea and then go after it. We have to be led by God's Spirit as individuals and as a church. But I will say that some of the ways that I think God is going to use us on mission in this community in the future is through small groups. Is through groups of people that get together during the week. They focus on God's Word. They bring people from the outside, and by the outside I mean people who don't know Jesus, into their small group. And not only share the gospel, but share how we can have victory in life. Okay? I am also very passionate, maybe you noticed during VBS, but I'm very passionate about kids and young people and children. And I think if one of the ways that we can be on mission as a church is to have children's ministry so that people can come and they can bring their kids and drop them off, whether it's here at the park or somewhere else, and that we can have fun with them, that we can feed them, and that we can share the gospel with them. Okay? VBS was a fun week. And I think almost everybody, if not everybody, who participated in VBS would say, wow, that was really neat, Pastor Tim. That was something that we need to continue to do. And we do. We need to continue to do VBS for a week, a year. But I think we also need to be more involved in the lives of children in this community. Okay? So those are some opportunities for us. I also like to share something that you don't have on your screen. We have another opportunity that has been brought to me. If you know Jim Stuhythe, passed away a number of months ago. He was a good man. He was a leader in our church. He was a person who loved children. And he was here for many, many years, a lot more years than I've been here, and most of us have been here, but he's been a faithful Christian for many years. And when he passed away, his daughter inherited his property, or his family did, and his daughter has attended our church before, and she's a missionary. She's a missionary in France, and she's sharing the gospel over on that side of the world. And she inherited his house, and she said, you know, in a few years I'm going to retire, but until I retire, I want to offer my dad's house, the house that she'll be moving into someday, to the church, to be used by the church. And she said, and we talked about this a little bit, and we thought it'd be a great idea if we could find somebody who would be willing to work with our children, to minister in the lives of our children, to come, and it would give them a place to stay. They'd spend a few hours working for the church. They'd have to have their own job so they could support themselves. But it would be a good win-win situation. It'd give her someone to live in her house, and it would give our church the opportunity to have more people serving in our congregation. Okay, now, I think that's a great thing. You know, I've been, I call that discipling. When you take someone who wants to get involved in ministry and you're already in ministry and you bring them along and you help them to get involved. And I've had a number of interns over the year that have worked with me, and then God has sent them out to other places. And I think that's an opportunity that's come up for us. Something that we need to pray about as a church and decide as a church. But man, God is opening opportunities for us. Okay? So what are your ever-widening circles? What are my ever-widening circles? Where are these opportunities that you and I have to minister? Where does God want us to start? You know that a pearl inside of a oyster is just a something solid that the goo decided to gather around. You know, without a grain of sand inside of the oyster, there is no pearl. And I believe that's true about God's people too. That God wants to use you to be the thing, maybe imperfect, but to be the thing that the goo gathers around and turns into something valuable. Okay, that's what God does in us. That's what God has designed us for, to be that thing. So where are your ever-widening circles and where are my ever-widening circles? Well, maybe Ocean View, Kau, the big island in Hawaii. You know, an ever-widening circle. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the world. Maybe it's Kau, and then Hawaii, and then the USA, and then the world. I don't know. Maybe it's your home, and then your family, and then your friends, and then your work or your school, the school that you attend if you're a young person. Okay? Maybe your ever-widening circles is your neighborhood and your street, your favorite place to eat, and your city. You know, I don't know what your ever-widening circles looks like. Okay? But I do know that God has placed you where He's placed you. And you are in some circles that I will never touch. You are in some circles that no missionary will ever touch. You know some people that I will never meet, that no missionary will ever meet. And you may be the only Bible that those people ever read. Hudson Taylor. He started to minister in China. Mr. Nee was one of the men that he led to Christ. And when he led him to Christ, Mr. Nee said, "How long have you had the gospel?" And Hudson Taylor said, "Well, England has had the gospel for a long time, for thousands of years." And Mr. Nee said, "My dad died looking for a savior. Why didn't you bring it earlier?" To that question, Hudson Taylor had no answer. How long have you known the gospel? And how far have you shared it personally? Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to come and to worship you and to focus on you. And Father, help us to be the goo or the stone that the goo gathers around. Help us to consider our ever-widening circles. Help us to understand that it starts where we are. And it moves out farther and farther and farther away. And help us to be the men and women, boys and girls, that take that pearl of great price and embrace it and live our lives in a way that will be glorifying to you. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing. We pray all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.